It's time for HBCU Play.
Welcome to HBCU Play, everyone. I'm Larisha Harris alongside Sam Crenshaw. Another great show for you guys this week as we get ready to venture into the 2018 football season. HBCU Play, we are here to deliver to you guys various information related to HBCU athletics. We are your primary source, your go-to for information and highlights, again, on HBCU athletics. Today, it's all about the SWAC, the Southwestern Athletic Conference. And just like every show, we get things going with...
Here's this week's starting lineup on HBCU Play.
The starting lineup. First, on today's starting lineup, Mr. Crenshaw.
Talking about the SWAC, and of course, founded all the way back in 1920. Proud conference of historically black colleges and universities, produced some tremendous graduates and great contributions in sports, but in so many other fields as well. We're focusing on football. And Larisha, you had a chance to go to the media day.
I did. And this year, I can honestly say there was a lot of media there. So as you can see, the SWAC is generating a lot of media attention. So many reporters and photographers were in the building to capture the moment for all the coaches and players that were there to talk about this 2018 season. We know that this year, the SWAC has five new head coaches.
Wow.
Five new head coaches. You have a new head coach at UAPB, another one at Alabama A&M, also over at Alabama State University. Mississippi Valley State has a new head coach, and also Prairie View A&M.
Man, so some fresh blood coming into the conference. Some guys who are coming in who've been a part of the SWAC, but some who haven't. A great deal of excitement and anticipation. Now, while we got some movement in the coaching ranks, all of the teams have stayed pat. We talked last week about the SIAC and how one program was leaving, Claflin is leaving, and Spring Hill was coming in, and Savannah State's coming back. SWAC has remained the same. The last new team, or last new school to join the SWAC was Alabama A&M. That was in 1999.
Wow.
So a lot of stability with this conference. The teams that were there, they like being a part of the SWAC. They like honoring that SWAC and being a part of that great competition each and every week in all sports, and they've remained on board.
Talking about things remaining on board, just like we told you last week, the SIAC making improvements, updating various facilities. Well, that's also happening in the SWAC. Construction has begun on the new University of Arkansas Pine Bluff football field. The Golden Lions are getting a new artificial turf. The athletics department is utilizing the $2.5 million gift that was given to them by Simons Bank, again, to install an artificial turf field.
But that's not all. You know, they got so much more that's going to be going on along with these upgrades at UAPB, Larisha. And Coach Cedric Thomas is thrilled about it and talks about how important that is to incoming players.
I related to recruiting. These kids want good stuff. And now we able to give them a lot more stuff, to be able to see that the Jumbotron, to be able to run out on the turf. You know, all that is great, you know, and it's huge for recruiting. But it also gives the community a boost and give them a positive attitude to be able to see what they hard work and tax dollars have paid, you know, to be able to come in and fellowship in. So I just think it's awesome, you know, for Pine Bluff as a whole, and also the donors in the communities who, you know, taking the time out to be able to invest in a product. And I promise you, you know, with those investments, you know, we're going to make a lot of people proud.
Again, that was the new head coach, Cedric Thomas, at the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff.
And that scoreboard looks simply awesome. It's going to be amazing. When people go to games there this season and going forward, it's just going to add to the experience.
You know, I haven't seen it yet, but I hope to see it soon.
Yeah, I think it's great. But it's not the only new thing that's going on in the SWAC this year, Larisha.
Not at all. Grambling also having some new uniforms come into play. The Tigers are adding the three stripes to their university.
Uh-oh.
They announced a 5-year athletic apparel partnership with Adidas. So now, under this new deal, it's worth about $1.2 million. The school will receive apparel and footwear. We know that their athletics department will have access to all of the company's products. So the football team, they will have four different customized game day jerseys, two home, one away and one alternate combination. Again, that's for football, but the men's and women's basketball programs will also benefit from this. Baseball, softball will receive uniforms as well. Even indoor track and field, soccer, tennis, volleyball, cross country, and bowling.
Yep, and we know how important the look is for all schools because we hear about the major conferences, the Power Five conferences, and they all have four or five different looks that go through the year. That's big for marketing. The fans and boosters want to get those jerseys, those uniforms, have a chance to wear them. And the teams have a great look when they come out. But Grambling is not the only one. Their arch rival is getting a new look, too. Talking about the Southern University Jaguars, Larissa, they have a five-year deal with Under Armour. And that's going to be outfitting all sports on campus, including the band and cheerleaders. Now think about this.
The band and cheerleaders, too? That's dope.
The human jukebox coming out with an Under Armour logo on their uniform.
I think that is dope. That is so fire.
Under Armour is doing it all, and it's going to start with a new look. They're still developing the look for the whole uniform, but it starts with the helmet. Are they going to remove the gold and blue stripe we've seen traditionally from the top of the helmet, opting for an all-white look as a backdrop with the interlocking SU on that uniform? They look to have it all rolled out here by August 18th, so that's shortly. They have the whole uniform look. But Southern University with a new look for Under Armour for 5 years, including all teams, the cheerleaders, and the band.
Wow. The cheerleaders, too? Now, I know their uniforms are going to be so dope.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing that these shoe companies are really honoring and respecting what the HBCUs bring to the table, and they want to be a part of it. They see the excitement that it causes, and they want to be on board and be a part of it. So that's a tip of the cap to Adidas for the new deal at Grambling and also for Southern and their deal with Under Armour.
We'd also like to tip the cap to Alcorn State's P.J. Simmons. He is a part of the 25-player watch list that was announced for the 2018 Stats FCS Walter Payton Award. The senior running back, a part of that 25-player watch list. So congratulations to, again, senior P.J. Simmons of Alcorn State. The Payton Award was first presented in 1987. He is a part of the watch list for that award.
Fantastic. And you know he wants to do that with Walter Payton being a SWAC product, too.
Yes.
You want to get that award.
That would be so awesome. And since we're talking about Walter Payton, coming up in Straight from the Source, we have Walter Payton's college roommate, who was actually recently inducted into the 2018 class Pro Football Hall of Fame.
You don't want to miss this. This is going to be very, very special. The man they call Dr. Doom going to spend some time with us. That's coming up on HBCU Play.
Time out. There's more coming your way on HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. When you want to know what's happening in HBCU sports, you need to get the info straight from the source.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Here's Larissa Harris and Sam Crenshaw with more of HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
One of the best telephone calls I ever got was when I was at Jackson State in Mississippi. At that time, Walter Payton was bringing scouts all over to our practice. This turned out to be great for Walter and me because we was making history. Two first-round draft picks from a historical black college and university.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play for this week. Sam Crenshaw along with Larissa Harris. And it's time to go straight to the source. This week, we're going to spend some time to a newly minted Hall of Famer. We're meaning Pro Football Hall of Famer. Just last week in Canton, Ohio, Robert Brazell out of Jackson State and the Houston Oilers received his gold jacket and took his place among the game's immortals. And he joins us now on HBCU Play. Robert Brazell, first of all, welcome to HBCU Play and congratulations.
Thank you so very, very much, guys. This is it's real big. You know, I've always wanted this. And I guess the best thing is that, you know, I feel kind of selfish, but I wanted it so bad because I wanted my mom and my dad, which are both 86, be able to witness their son going to the Hall of Fame. Now when I call over to their house, I ask to speak to Mr. and Mrs. Hall of Famer.
Mr. Robert, talk to me a little bit about that moment when you initially found out that this was happening. Your dream was becoming a reality. What were your emotions?
Well, first of all, the speech said it all, and I can tell everybody. Something happened to me back in 1985. I had, if you know my stats, I had never missed a game, and I have started for the Houston Oilers for years, never missed a game. At the Hall of Fame game in 1985, I got a knock on the door telling me that I was not going to start. And I got to tell y'all, now I can tell everybody, I kept this inside of me for 30-some years, how bad it made me feel. You know, it destroyed me because this is the game that I had loved. This is the game that I could have probably, I mean, look at Jack and Sager playing in 17 years. I don't know how far I would have went if I would have played in that game. But they told me that I was not going to start. And that disrupt. I did not watch no football until one day my mama stopped me and said, sit down, there's something on your mind, but you're going to watch this game with me. So for me to be finally at home, that's what I meant at the end of my speech. I'm at home because I felt like with the guys that was already in, they was already my brothers. I mean, Walter, I didn't get a chance to share this with Walter, you know, But I did not, because Walter's gone. Jackie Slater, I mean, Lynn Bunny. I mean, I've always wanted to be in the rightful place with them. Now I'm finally there.
Talk about having your father there with you. You mentioned the fact that you're able to share it with him, but even more so with him because he introduced you, and that had to be such a special moment.
First of all, I've always said one day I'm going to give me a hug at my dad and a kiss. My dad is a man's man. When I say that, every man in America know what I mean, a man's man.
Yeah.
You know, it's impolite for two men to hug and kiss. I mean, in America. In other countries, it's okay. I hug and kiss my kids all the time. But when I was growing up, and all the other Brazil boys that's dad, and their dad is a dead and gone, they said, you did something that no other Brazil boy got was a hug and a kiss from your dad. So that's how special that was for me. You know, it wasn't about me. I mean, you know, if you think about it, my mom and my dad, if they was not living, I mean, if they were, that was the reason all this was so special for me, because of those two people there. And they are now Hall of Fame parents.
If you're just tuning in, we are talking to recently inducted, a part of the class of 2018 Hall of Famer, Mr. Robert Brazil. You are an alum of Jackson State. Talk about your years playing there at your alma mater.
Well, when I left Mobile and went to Jackson, not knowing what the outcome would be, you know, I've always been a hard worker. I always worked out by myself. I always tried to pull my teammates with me and try to push them. But I met a guy that worked much harder than me on the same level. I ain't going to say as much, but we both worked as hard. It was Walter Payton. You know, it was such a blessing to be able to spend 4 years with him, because I tell people, anybody asks me today, who was the hardest person in the world to get down, it was Walter Payton. I mean, that was my worst enemy, because I didn't know what he was going to bring to the plate or what he was going to bring to the game the next play. So for me to be there amongst all the other talent that I didn't know that was there, man, it was this says so much for my historical black colleges. If you think about the era that I went through and all the people that came out of Jackson, out of Grambling, out of TSU, out of Prairie View, out of Southern, man, it's, you know, you look talking about a lot of people like at the Hall of Fame right now, right?
There are, but right now Jackson State has four Pro Football Hall of Famers, the same as Grambling.
That's true. That's saying a lot for HBCUs, you know. People always ask me about how did I choose or chose. I walked on to Jackson, yes. I was a walk-on. I was not recruited by Jackson. That's how much talent was already there. I got a blessing when I walked on there, though.
Wow. You walked on. I never knew that you were a walk-on at Jackson State.
Well, can I tell you the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
When I was a senior in high school, I mean, I had every major SEC school, the Alabama, the Auburn, because I went to a predominantly white school during that time. And then my senior year, I broke my arm. And I could literally see scouts walking out of the stadium because it was open to kickoff. So when I come to the sideline, I see scouts just walking off the sideline. And I said, oh, man, I done blew everything I wanted. I signed a letter of intent with Troy State, which is in North Alabama. Myself and Ricky Young, which played for the Vikings, and also a roommate of me and Walters. We went up there on a visit, and we signed. So my parents, which is, you know, like all other parents, wanted to see what the college looks like. We went up there on the wrong time of the year. It was during the spring. Everybody needed suntan during that time. My mama had never seen a two-piece bathing suit. When we drove up on campus, she said, turn the car around, Robert. She was talking to my dad. He said, why? He said, ain't nobody got no clothes on up here. So she said, you two in the back seat, y'all got to sign another college. I cannot let you go to school here.
Wow.
We went home. This is the truth. We went home. I had a cousin that was playing for Jackson, had played for Jackson. His name is Anthony Gibb. I called Jake and said, man, could you call Bob here and see, could he let me see the campus? So he called him. Bob Lear did never look at me. He looked down at Ricky's legs and said, I think you could block for Walter. That's how good Bob just knows Ricky Young. I said, Coach, what about me? He said, you look like you're in pretty good company, and I know your cousin, so you can come on. You got to make my team. And that's all I needed. When he said that, you got to make my team, I said, okay, I got something to work for. And that was the turning point. I mean, not the turning point. That was the start of my career at Jackson State.
Man, what a story. What a story. The voyage from Mobile to Jackson State University. Not like a lot of people would imagine for someone who ends up in the Hall of Fame. Folks, we're spending some time here on HBCU Play with Robert Brazil, brand new Pro Football Hall of Famer 2018, a tribute to his amazing career. I want you to talk some more about the swag. And what were the places that you looked forward to going to play? What were the places that you dreaded going to play?
Southern. Down in Scotlandville. You know, where I heard all types of stories back then, but we was actually on the 6-yard line going in the score, and every light in the stadium went out.
Whoa.
I've never seen what Scotlandville looked like because they told us a certain part, do not look out the windows. Put your head between your legs, fully dressed, going to the stadium.
Wow.
Man, this was serious football back then. But look what it turned out, man. It turned out some great, great athletes. We competed with the best, and we did the best. And we overcame all these obstacles in life and became great people and great men, great fathers, great leaders, you know. So I think everybody got a stir. And if you're not, you talk to me, if you talk to Doug, you talk to James Harris, or anybody that played in the sweat, we all got some wonderful stories to tell.
Now,
I would like to see? One day, if everybody put a panel up with all these greats and just let people shoot questions at us.
That would be a lot of fun. Maybe HBCU Play could help put that together. Maybe a little project for us.
What we need to do is a question-answer thing. I did that at the reason why I say that, this past weekend they had the last four Hall of Famers. You know, Brian Dawkins couldn't be there, and Urlacher had to leave because of personal reasons. But with four guys on the stage, and we had a guy like you guys, like Miss Harris could be asking us questions. Wow. Man, you could fill up an arena.
You know, I'm all for that.
I'm all for that.
Y'all, maybe we can make that happen.
You find the sponsors and put it together, and you get you some Hall of Famers, or you get you some swag guys. I think we can do something with that.
I think he gave us a project, Mr. Crenshaw.
I think so. We got it. We have our marching orders.
But we're always trying to do something to help our college. You know, we are all. I mean, if somebody at my level in the Hall of Fame is actually worried about a dollar, I mean, something's wrong. You know, they can't count. So, but you understand what I'm trying to say. So, let's do something in this swag, like a golf tournament. Let's do something like I just told you with the answers and questions thing. I saw money being made at the Hall of Fame.
You're getting it straight from the source on HBCU Play. Hall of Famer Robert Brazil on the line with us. Coming up, we break down the playbook with Dr. Doom. So stay put. More HBCU Play on the way.
Time out. Stay where you are for more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're breaking down the X's and O's.
That's precise.
In the playbook.
It's a precise breakdown.
On HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. I'm LaRisha Harris. Alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. Typically, during this segment, The Playbook, we break down, analyze games throughout the various conferences. But since the season hasn't started and we have a Hall of Famer on the line, we're going to continue our conversation with Robert Brazil, member of the 2018 Pro Football Hall of Fame class and an alumni of Jackson State.
We always talk about HBCU football and present it to everybody else, but we want to know from the words of a Hall of Famer, why is it important for people to be aware of the product that's on the fields of HBCUs?
You may be missing the Hall of Famer. You just may be missing the Hall of Famer. You know, I was a walk-on at Jackson. Other guys that I played with, you know, Jackson Slater played more football than anybody I ever known as a Hall of Famer. You know, there's so much history there. So give it a shot. I mean, kids, if you know parents, if you got anything, if you want your kids to get a good education also, give one of the HBCUs a chance.
We all know you as Dr. Doom, but some people don't know how that nickname came about. How did that happen?
You know, I am Robert Lorenzo Brazil Jr., and my dad he gave me that name for a reason, and one of the things he told me, make my name proud. That's why I say again, that meant so much to me to put that name in the Hall of Fame. But in the college All-Star game, Walter Payton, John Tate, and myself were participating in the college All-Star. Back then, that's when the college All-Star played the Super Bowl champion. We were supposed to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. The week of practice, you know, you got people from all over, all these college All-Stars. It was a guy named Richard Wood. He played with SC, and he was a middle linebacker, and his nickname was Batman. And he liked, because now I got to find you a nickname. So one morning, I was not sitting at him at a breakfast like they did every morning. He signaled for me to come over. At the head of that table was Howard Cosell sitting there eating also. And I don't know what him and Richard was talking about, because I moved my plate over there. And he said, I finally found your nickname. I said, what kind of nickname you got for me? He said, and you look in Chicago Tribune, it's a character named Dr. Doom, a cartoon named Dr. Doom. I said, Dr. Doom? That don't sound like no football name to me, no nickname. Because my nickname is Bubba and Catfish from Mobile. That's what everybody called me. But Howard Cosell said, yes, it fits him, Richard. And I said, well, it fits me. Why? He said, because take the last part of that, Doom, death on offensive men. And that's how I got started.
Wow.
Just as simple as that, death on offensive men. That's why I wore with pride.
You got to wear that one with pride, considering who you got it from. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Talk a little bit about back home. You are a native of Mobile, Alabama, and we're doing this show from Atlanta. We obviously are very aware of one tremendous athlete that came from that home, from that town, but there are so many from that area. In practically any sport, if you look up at the top, you'll find somebody from that area. What is it about that, about the Mobile and sports and athletics?
Yes, what's the secret sauce?
Did you hear my acceptance speech?
Yes, we did.
Did I say something about the water down here?
You did. You said it was in the water.
That is the key. And people don't believe this, man. Starting with Paul Crane, Scott Hunter, Ricky Young, Don Reese, Robert Brazil, and behind that, could you believe 16 other, almost 22 guys. It was 22 guys, I think we counted. Came out of Viger High School, my high school. that played in the pros, or even is playing in the pros now.
That's amazing.
That's saying a lot. That's not counting the other black high schools. They also got kids that's in the pros.
Man, that's something. I guess it's kind of be expected when you grow up in that area. And also,
this is a baseball town, everybody's thought. You know, we got the Hank Aarons and all them from down here. My Uncle Odell, the one I was talking to in the speech, he was a baseball player. All his buddies, Willie Mays, Billy Williams, all right. Them was his running partners.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wondering how in the world I was playing baseball. I couldn't stand that carry ball. I didn't want to be hitting the head.
You just wanted to hit people, huh?
And I learned one thing in Sunday school. It's more blessed to give than it is to what?
Receive.
I gave out all my dick.
And you did a great job of that. Well, hey, we appreciate you spending some time and relating some stories about your life and your tremendous career. Things we didn't know. A walk-on at Jackson State from that. Those very humble beginnings,
right?
All the way to Canton, Ohio, and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Robert Brazil, we appreciate you spending so much time and being our very special guest here on HBCU Play.
Sam and Ms. Harris, thank y'all, man. It's people like y'all going to keep kids going through HBCUs. Y'all keep the push, and like I say, y'all got some gold jackets. Y'all need to come up with some magic and make it work. We can make this work if we all pull together, not being selfish and not being greedy. So let's make this work for the HBCUs.
Well said.
Yes, sir. You gave us a task. We're going to get on it.
Thank you, man. Sam, you got my number. Call me when you need me.
All right. Thank you now.
Thank
you. Do not give it out, Sam. You owe me that.
We'll not do that.
Ms. Harris, you can have it, though.
Thank you so much, Mr. Brazil. I appreciate it.
Now I got to go grocery shopping. Ain't no groceries in the house.
Oh, goodness. You better get to getting then.
No, I'm sitting here. Like I tell you, I'm sitting in my yard, and I'm saying, this is not my yard. I got grass about 5 inches tall, and I do my yard. Can you imagine? The first thing I want to do is do my yard, but I got to wait till I get through talking to y'all.
Thank you so much, Mr. Brazil. I appreciate it.
Thank y'all.
Again, Robert Brazil, one of 8 new members to the Gold Jacket Club, the 2018 Pro Football Hall of Fame. One more segment in front of us. Up next, it's time for the kickoff. We'll run through a few games within the SWAC we think you should know about and maybe jot down on your calendars. The kickoff is up next on HBCU Play with Larisha and Sam on News and Talk 1380 WALK.
Time out. We'll be right back with more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WALK. It's almost game time on HBCU Play. We're getting ready for the kickoff with Larisha Harris.
You are clearly so quick-witted and beautiful.
And Sam Crenshaw.
He's a righteous dude.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw along with Larisha Harris. And this is the segment we like to call
The Kickoff.
Each week at this time, we're going to get you all set for the games that are coming up, give you some insight of what we know about it as you get set for the games to be played. This week, we've taken a big look at the SWAC. We're going to take a look at some of the games to watch coming up this season, Larisha.
That's right. We open the season on August 25th. We'll see Prairie View A&M at Rice. They have a very tough schedule this year, but they open the SWAC season for everybody. But then we continue on September 1st, Morehouse at UAPB, the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. Last year, UAPB won that game 23-10. Another game on that same day, Grambling at Louisiana Lafayette. This is the first ever meeting between the two teams.
Larisha, I think this could be the biggest game in the state of Louisiana not being played by LSU. I mean, if Grambling's able to go to Lafayette and get the win over the Raging Cajuns, that's going to send shockwaves through FCS and through the mid-majors. Big, big game, great opportunity for Grambling. But then there's a game taking place in Atlanta.
That is right. Alcorn State at Georgia Tech. Now, 3 years ago, Alcorn started the season at Tech and ended the season at the inaugural Celebration Bowl.
So could history repeat itself? Could Alcorn start the season here and end the season here in Atlanta once again? Hey, stay tuned for that.
Moving on to the second. Here in Atlanta, we'll see the MEAC SWAC Challenge, the first year that it's here in this neutral location at Georgia State.
The two teams have new coaches this year. Eric Dooley's taken the helm over at Prairie View, and he has these thoughts about coming in and playing this game here in Atlanta.
We probably won't need anything extra to make us work hard because we're going to work hard, but it gives us a great incentive because you want to start somewhere and then you want to finish there. So I think it sends a message to the team, and I think it's a great opportunity for us.
So Alcorn, not the only team thinking about starting the season in Atlanta and ending in Atlanta. Prairie View saying, hey, we might want to do that too. Moving on to the next weekend, let's take a look at things in Northern Alabama.
North Alabama and Alabama A&M, the 23rd meeting between the two, the most recent, though, in 1997.
And North Alabama is new to the FCS program. They're moving up from Division II.
Jackson State going up against Tennessee State the same day on September 8th. This is the 29th Southern Heritage Classic in Memphis.
Big time in Memphis, big crowd in the stadium. Big crowd outside. We'll be able to see the smoke flying from here in Atlanta. TSU won the game last year 17-15, Larissa.
Now moving on to the 15th. Alabama State at Kennesaw State. Last year, KSU won this game 20-14.
They played that game in Montgomery, and Kennesaw State were on their way to a big season. They end up being a quarterfinalist in FCS.
On the 29th, we'll see Alcorn State at Southern.
Last year, Alcorn got the win in that one. 48-31, high-scoring affair. Let's see what happens this year. They're playing in Baton Rouge.
Another game that same day, PVA&M going up against Grambling, the State Fair Classic in Dallas.
Play this at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas each and every year. Big crowd always shows up for this game. And last year, the Grambling State Tigers were the winners, 34-21.
October 13th, we'll see Prairie View A&M at Southern. Last year, the Jaguars won that game 37-31. Moving on to the 20th, though, Southern going up against Texas Southern, the State Fair Showdown.
Back at the Cotton Bowl again for the second consecutive week. Going to have HBCU play. Last year, the Jaguars were winners in this game, 33-7. That game was played in Houston.
Grambling State, Alcorn State. That game happening also on the 20th.
What else can you say about when these two teams get together? Last year, Larissa, Grambling won the regular season game 41-14. Then they beat Alcorn State in the SWAC championship game 40-32. Both teams are expected to be on top of their divisions in the SWAC this year. But Coach Broderick Fobbs of Grambling says he doesn't really focus on who the opponent is. Their approach is to focus on the team that looks back from the mirror.
We want to challenge ourselves regardless of what the opponent is doing. So for us, it's about improving on everything that we've done previously and continuing to get better each week and each year to put a better product on the field. And that's what we try to do, you know, at Grambling. It doesn't matter who's coming at you. All what matters is what we're continuing to try to build.
Moving on now to the 27th, we'll see Alcorn at PVA&M. The Braves won 34-21 last year. Also on that same day, Alabama A&M going up against Alabama State, the 77th Magic City Classic.
Get together at Legion Field. It's a big time, Larissa. Each and every year when these two teams in the state of Alabama get together at that treasured historic field there in Birmingham. Alabama State won last year 21-11. Connell Maynard is coming in new to the SWAC and new to this rivalry as a new head coach at Alabama A&M, and he has these thoughts about his first time going into the Magic City Classic.
I know a whole lot about it. I've been getting it from everybody, and they say it's unbelievable, and if it's nice weather, it's going to be 80,000 in the stadium and 30,000 outside the stadium, and they start tailgating on Mondays. So they tell me the fans and the alumni and people just walk into meetings and start asking questions, and so it's crazy. It's, from what I hear, it's crazy. So I'm excited about it. I can't wait to get to the Magic City Classic, but we got some games before we get there, so we got to take care of those first.
That's Coach Connell Maynard from Alabama A&M. He is new to the Magic City Classic, as well as Alabama State's Coach Donald Hill Ely, now being the new full-time head coach there. And he'll be the head coach there for the first time as well with the Alabama State Hornets.
Moving on to November, on the 10th, Mississippi Valley State has a new visitor.
They do. The Hampton Pirates, of all people. And folks, may have heard about the Hampton Pirates and their athletic program stepping away from the MEAC. And when they announced they were leaving the conference dropped all of their games against them. So all of their traditional conference rivals did not schedule games against Hampton. They had to find some football games. And they found an opening to go to Itabena, Mississippi. That's going to be a shock to the system for the Pirates to go to that part of the country at that time of the year. I hope they're going to be ready. It could still be hot down there. It's going to be November. But the Hampton Pirates are going to get on their boat and ride all the way down the Mississippi Valley, and the Delta Devils might give them a hot time that day.
And I specifically remember during the SWAC media day, majority of the coaches told me that playing down there was so tough. I asked them specifically, what's the hardest place to play in the SWAC? Mississippi Valley State came up on just about every coach's list. Yeah, it was at the top.
They say that. All right, Hampton, get ready.
Yes, Hampton, get ready. Moving on now. On the 17th of November, we'll see Jackson State at Alcorn State.
Upset last year. Jackson State wins this game 7-3 over Alcorn. And you best believe the Braves have not forgotten it once they get them down in Lorman for the game this time around.
And also on the 24th of November, Grambling going up against their rival Southern. This will be the 77th overall meeting between the two teams.
45th time is the Bayou Classic, and Grambling, of course, won that game 35-21 last year. Always a big time, Larisha. I mean, every time I've been to the Bayou Classic on Monday, I'm so tired because there's so much to see and do other than the game, but the people. But it's a great time, great camaraderie. And should be great competition once again, as always, at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Now, one special game we do want to highlight, Tuskegee at Alabama State. This is how Alabama State is starting off their season, and this is happening on August 25th.
Well, August 25th, a game that used to be for years the final game of the year, but still they're kicking off the season with it the last couple of years as Tuskegee wants to participate in the Division II playoffs. Last year, Tuskegee won the game 14-7. But and Coach Donald Hill Ely has these thoughts about Bama State taking on their arch rival.
So we're going to start off and put all our focus on Tuskegee. You know, and just like any other game, we know that Tuskegee won their conference last year. And, you know, it's a program that fights hard and been fighting hard for a while. So we have to find the strengths and eliminate them and make them, you know, one-dimensional. And we have to, you know, show up offense, defense, special team, and make some plays.
That is Coach Donald Hill Ely, head coach of Alabama State. You know, Larisha, Alabama State and Tuskegee are arch rivals, but we have to give some credit to the Alabama State program for doing something remarkable for an injured Tuskegee player. Jabari Bailey, a linebacker for Tuskegee, was helping a friend stranded by a roadside back in July. Car came along and hit him, and he lost a leg. And so the Alabama State football program did a fundraiser, raised over $1,500, along with the Heritage Barbershop. I want to shout out to them as well to make that donation to the cause to help in the rehabilitation for Jabari Bailey. Great thing they did. A tip of the cap to Alabama State will make this year's game something a little bit special.
So those are a few impact games we wanted to share with you, a few games you could look forward to. And also, you heard from a few coaches about those games, the classics. We look forward to seeing all these battles within the SWAC this year.
Been a great show, and especially having our special guest, new Hall of Famer Robert Brazil.
Dr. Doom.
Was in the house with us for HBCU Play. Next week, we want you to be back with us. Going to take a look at the CIAA.
You miss a show, you miss a lot.
And don't forget to follow us on social media and also listen to us nationwide on the radio.com app.
You can start by following WALK on Twitter. It's simply WALK. And then go over and follow me. I'm Larisha Harris. That's LERICIA_H on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. Remember, when you follow us, send us all the information that you might want us to get out there, and we'll make sure we get it to you.
And I'm at SamCrenshaw23. You can send it to me as well to get it included each week right here on HBCU Play.
Thank you guys for listening to another episode of
HBCU Play.
Thanks for listening to HBCU Play.